Today, I want to invite you to grab your Bible and think with me for a few minutes about living connected. Living connected. Now, I know that many of you might immediately say, Wes, I am so connected that if I get any more connected, my circuits are going to start frying. Some of you might say, Wes, I am on Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and LinkedIn and Tumblr and Pinterest and YouTube. Some of you are saying, I blog and I vlog, and I'm on 15 other different social media platforms. Wes, I am connected. I believe you. I believe you. We are, historians tell us, we are the most connected generation ever in the history of the world. And I have to tell you, I think that's kind of cool. I like being the best, don't you? I mean, that's kind of fun to think that we are the most connected. But think about this. Most of our connections in our world today are screen to screen. And I wonder if that is why so many people in our world confess to intense feelings of loneliness. Some of you are familiar with an actress named Jodie Foster. She's been acting on screen since she was a little girl, and she has had all sorts of struggles, all sorts of issues that she's dealt with. But she received, a while back at the Golden Globes Award, a few years ago, she received the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award. And in her acceptance speech, as she is accepting this award for having a lifetime of acting on the screen where millions of people have seen her, she made this statement, and I think she speaks for lots of people in our world today. She said, "I want to be truly seen. I want to be deeply understood, and I want to not be so very lonely." There's a lot of people in our world today that are very connected and very lonely. Could it be that God designed us for deeper connections than just screen to screen? Could it be that God sort of downloaded into our heart, into each of us, the need to be doing life side by side and shoulder to shoulder and even face to face with people? See, I think God really did download that need into our hearts. And so all over in Scripture, all through the New Testament particularly, you see these kinds of instructions and encouragement. Things like love each other and forgive each other, accept each other, care for each other, encourage each other, submit to each other, restore one another when a relationship goes bad, carry each other's burdens, bear with each other's faults. I mean, we see those kinds of instructions and encouragements all over in Scripture, because I truly believe, and I suspect you do as well, God designed us to need a deep connection with Him and deep connection with each other. See, we have a fundamental belief around here based on the truth of God's Word. Life and faith are better when we are connected. It's just true. We are designed, according to what God's Word says, to truly do life shoulder to shoulder. We really are. Shoulder to shoulder life is like when you and I share an experience together, or we work on a task together, or we're partnering together, or we're raising a family together. That's kind of shoulder to shoulder life. And we need that. We're designed for that. We're also designed for face-to-face connection, where we move beyond just doing something together and we actually get to know each other. We actually understand as best we can each other. We actually have a connection that goes beneath the surface. We're designed for both kinds of life. We're designed for that face-to-face life where we celebrate together and where maybe we even cry together because of sometimes the pain that we experience in life. Now, some of you might be saying, Wes, why is this true? Why is this true? Well, there's a lot of reasons it's true, and we're going to look at some of them in Scripture today, but there's a particular reason why God asks you and I to take the risk of connecting. There's a specific reason. We're going to look at it in Hebrews chapter 3. And I want to invite you to grab your Bible and find Hebrews, a little book in the New Testament, kind of towards the back, just before you get to James. We're going to look at chapter 3 in just a moment, but I'm going to tip my hand before we even look at that today. I'm going to tip my hand and tell you what this scripture, the big principle, is going to be, and then we'll unpack the scripture. See, I think God designed us to need connection because the natural drift of life is away from things that are good and wholesome and holy. The natural drift of life, the natural current of life, will take us away from those things that are good and wholesome. Think about this. In relationships, have you ever just, truthfully now, have you ever just fallen into an awesome relationship? Probably. We talk about falling in love, but that actually doesn't happen. You might be attracted to someone, but that relationship is built when you do some intentional things. So for a relationship to be healthy, you have to intentionally do some things to make it healthy, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or somebody that you're dating, you're trying to get to know. I mean, you've got to do some intentional things to make the relationship healthy. Because in and of ourselves, if we just drift in a relationship, the drift will always be away from the other person. You can't just drift. This is true, I think, in almost every phase of life. Think about when you're trying to exercise or diet. If you're doing it just alone, nobody else knows, it's a secret, you're doing exercise and you're dieting, your natural drift will be away from that. If somebody else knows, then they can hold you accountable. But if you're in it by yourself, your natural drift will be away from the discipline required to exercise and to diet. You can translate it on almost anything. Our budgets, our natural drift is to not follow a budget. We need people to help us and hold us accountable. Our natural drift in almost every phase of life is away from the good things, away from the wholesome things and holy things. And this is true spiritually. It really is. In fact, our spiritual life is all about intentionality. I know this thing keeps going up and down, doesn't it? Jeez. Oh, I'll tell you what, if you give me grace for a minute, I'm going to grab this one too. Because I don't want to stand here and hold that thing up the whole time. All right, I've never preached with two before, but here we go. Let's do it. We just talked about fresh stuff, new stuff, the first, right? So here we go. First time with two. Let's see if I can manage this. Our natural drift is away from God. Spiritually, we have to be very intentional, and God sets the stage for this. He sets the stage. God sends Jesus, His Son, down to earth with intentionality. Intentionally, Jesus came to earth and was born of a Virgin Mary. Intentionally, Jesus goes to the cross, and He takes our sin. He pays the penalty for our sins so we can live forgiven. Intentionally, Jesus goes to the grave and then rises again so that we can live with purpose and meaning and hope for all of eternity. There's a lot of intentionality into what Jesus does for us, and He does that so you and I can do something very intentional. So we can wrestle with that issue, is Jesus really who He said He is? Can I really trust God? Can I really believe that there is forgiveness of sin? And so Jesus is intentional. God the Father is intentional. So you and I can intentionally wrestle with the truth. And we can, I hope, make a very intentional decision saying, yes, I believe. I do believe Jesus is who He said He was. And I accept His forgiveness, His purpose, His plan for my life. I accept that. You see, God's intentional with us, and we can be intentional, but we even have to go beyond that intentional decision. There's an intentional life that has to be lived. And so you and I, if we're followers of Christ, then we make some intentional decisions every day about following Jesus. There's some intentional things we're going to do. And if we allow ourselves to drift, we discover, just like in every other area of life, The current of life, the stream of life, rarely takes us towards God. It will take us away. And so we're called to be intentional, and we're called to live with connection. And here's the reason why. If you look in Hebrews chapter 3, you find a pretty powerful passage of Scripture. However you read Scripture is fine. If you're using your phone, that's fine. Just don't be checking Facebook. That's not the kind of connection we're talking about this morning, okay? Use your physical Bible, use your phone app, however, but let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. This is a really significant book of the Bible, because Hebrews is written during a time of intense persecution in the Roman Empire. So probably written sometime between the persecution that Nero, the emperor, was doing in AD 64, and Domitian was doing persecution and stuff about AD 85, and so somewhere in that time frame, this book is written. And we don't know whether it was the Apostle Paul or whether maybe it was James. We're not sure who the author is, but they have a significant chunk of information about what's going on in the world of that day. And so they're writing a letter to people who are Jewish, who are now following Christ faithfully. But they're struggling. They're struggling because they are being tempted to go back to their old ways of just the rituals and the rules of Judaism, because following Christ is putting them with a target on their back in the Roman Empire at this time frame. They're worshiping Christ, and Rome demanded that you worship the emperor, so they've got a target on their back. And some of them are giving up. Some of them are drifting back into their old ways of life. And so the author, knowing their Jewish history, he asks them to think about what's happened to their ancestors, to the generations previous. And so if you look in this chapter 3, you discover that he's talking about Christ and Moses and the difference. And then he begins to talk about how the children of Israel, after they're delivered out of slavery in Egypt and they're traveling across the desert to the promised land that God says, I'm going to give you this land. He talks about how they've seen the miracles of God. They've seen God work in some amazing ways, but some of them still begin to doubt, and they still begin to do their own thing, and they begin to drift away from following God and honoring Him. And so he says, verse 7, the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as the Israelites did when they rebelled and when they tested me in the wilderness. There, your ancestors, they tested, they tried my patience. Their hearts were always turning away from me. They refused to do what I tell them to do. And God says, many of them never reached the promised land. They never reached the place of rest. And so he makes it very personal then. Verse 12, if you would look at that with me. He says, be careful then, brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. See, the writer is trying to help you and I understand a really, really serious truth. He says, it doesn't matter what you've committed to or what you've said you believe. All of us still have the capacity to harden our hearts and wander away from God. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you had grandpas and grandmas and ancestors, great-great-great-grandpas, you had all these people in your past who saw God do some amazing things, and they believed, but at some point in the tests and trials of life, they wound up hardening their hearts and drifting away. And the writer says, hey, I need you to be serious about this. I need you to think about this seriously. That you and I, no matter what we say we believe, we have the capacity to drift away. That's what the writer is saying here. So he's saying, this is serious stuff. But he gives us here a solution. He gives us a solution, and please don't miss this. He says, be careful, brothers and sisters. So initially he says, I know the tendency will be to go away. I know that. I know that we think that commitment is everything, but you need not only commitment, that you need connection. Because he says, I want you to think about this, brothers and sisters. So he's speaking to the whole group of people here. This is a group, an all-skate, if you will, command. He says, I want you to brothers and sisters, warn each other. I want you to warn each other so that your hearts will not be evil or unbelieving and turning away from God. And so every single day, he says, you warn each other. You pay attention to each other so that you won't be deceived by sin and have your heart hardened against God. Now we look at that passage and we say, so people who are already believing, and he's saying, make sure that we don't turn away from the living God. And we're saying, who would do that? I mean, who would turn away from the living God? Have you looked in the mirror lately? Because all of us are capable of knowing the right thing and going the complete opposite direction. And I'm as guilty as you. All of us have the capacity to know what's right and then do the complete opposite thing. I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, my dad would say, Wes, did you know what you were supposed to do? Yeah. Then why didn't you do it? I don't know. Something inside of me made me not do the right thing. And don't act like you've never said that. See, all of us have this capacity. We all do. It's just part of the human equation, the human experience. And so the writer here is saying, here's what you need to know. You need to know that you have this capability inside of you to drift away from God. And he said, the solution, a part of the solution to making sure we don't drift away and that our hearts don't get hard, is that we hold each other accountable, that we love each other, that we care about each other, that we warn each other. You see, commitment alone is not enough. You need connection. I need connection. There needs to be people in our life who will help us, because if we're not careful, we can wind up turning away. We can wind up drifting away. He uses the word there in verse 12, turning away, or he uses that phrase, turning away. And that phrase in the Greek is not, it's not one giant leap. It's not a giant leap for mankind. This word that's used to translate turning away from God means a sequence of steps. So when you and I begin to drift away, the writer says, be careful, because it probably won't be a giant leap off the cliff. You may go off the cliff, but it will be because you've taken some steps away from God. And so he says, you need people in your life. You need people in your life who can be close enough to you that they can see that begin to happen. Now, here's why we need people close to us. Because this drift away always starts within. It always starts within. It never starts on the outside. It always starts within. Sometimes it looks like a temptation that just we wind up giving into, and the thoughts we wind up giving into them, and that temptation turns into a question which we never really get answered and we keep wrestling with, and it turns into then to a doubt, and then it mushrooms, because we don't deal with the doubt, it mushrooms into complete unbelief, and the first thing you know, we're walking away from the God who saved us. And so, because it begins within, we need people close enough to us that they can say to us, you know what? There's something going on inside of you. Can I ask you a question? Can we talk about this? We need somebody close enough to us that we've given access to our heart. Because it's not obvious when the drift begins, and so we need people close enough so that they know to pray for us and love us and encourage us and walk with us and sometimes hold us accountable and warn us because they see danger ahead. See, we need these kind of people in our life And can I just tell you that that kind of thing happens way better in circles than in rows. Now, we love being here together on Sunday mornings, and God has blessed our church family so much, and I feel so grateful that He has. I'm grateful that we have to have more than one worship gathering on Sunday morning because we just don't have room for everybody to try to get them all in one at one time. And so I'm grateful that we gather like this, and everywhere in Scripture it talks about gathering like this. And so this is really important for us to worship together musically and to dig into God's Word together. That's really, really important. But it's also really important that you and I take a risk and we move from just being in the rows where we're looking at the backs of everybody's heads and we actually do some life face to face, where we've given permission to somebody, for people to walk with us and journey with us and share life with us. And if things start to go south, they can be there to help us and encourage us. I know it's a risk. I know it's a challenge. But you and I need to just be right up front and say, the natural current of society will take me away from what's good and what's holy and what's right. It will take me away from good relationships. It will take me away from honoring God with my finances. It will take me away from a spiritual dynamic life with God. It will take me away from that. And so I need to be with people, because some folks can see what we ourselves cannot. It's just true. I mean, when was the last goofy idea you came up with that sounded really good to you until you told it to somebody else, and then they had that look on their face that's like, what are you talking about? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. That'll never work. What are you thinking? I mean, now I know that gets frustrating when that's always your spouse. I understand that. But we all need people like that in our life that say, you need to get a clue here. Come on. You need to think about the whole issue here. We need people like that, because frequently others can see stuff that we can't see ourselves because we're just kind of blinded by it. It's one of those blind spots. We all need circles in our life. We all need circles. And I want to just ask you today to be willing to take a risk and move from just being in a row to being in a circle, whatever that looks like in your life. Now, around Grace Point, I mean, we believe this fully, and so we want to just always be encouraging you as best we can to move beyond just a gathering like this. It's important. We're glad you're here. We're excited you're here. But we want to always encourage you to move from rows to circles, because we believe that circles is where real significant transformation can happen, where we can share life together, we can grow in our faith. In fact, our whole design of our strategy for our church is really designed around circles. And we're going to throw a graphic up on the screen for you here. You can see it there. We have really three strategies that help us live out our mission of sharing the hope and grace and truth of Jesus Christ with real people in the real world. We first believe that everybody needs to be experiencing grace. All of us personally. We don't want grace to be experienced just by your neighbor. We want you to experience grace of God personally. We believe that we ought to be growing in grace together, that we can encourage each other and walk with each other, do life together. And we believe that as that happens, then we ought to be sharing and extending this grace to our world. And that means in Shiawassee County and in Clinton County, where our St. John's campus is, it means all over the world, we ought to be sharing and extending the amazing grace and truth and hope of Jesus. And our goal, our desire, is that every time Grace Point gathers, whatever that looks like, in a room like this, or where 5 people are together in a group, or 15 people are together in a group, or whatever it looks like, that Grace Point will be the center of all of those things in terms of where they coalesce and come together. And at that spot, our Grace Point family will be experiencing grace and growing in grace and extending grace. That's what we hope every single time we gather together in whatever form that looks like. Because we believe that We all need a circle of people to do life with. We all do. One final thing I need for you to grab this morning before we go. The writer here has some urgency about this, and I don't want you to miss it. He says in verse 7, this is why the Holy Spirit is saying, he says, because it's easy to drift away, because you've seen this happen in your forefathers, he says, the Holy Spirit is saying, today when you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. So he's saying, today when God is speaking to you, make sure you listen, make sure you pay attention today. He comes back to that same phrase and refrain in the next section of Scripture that we read together. He says, verse 13, warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. So he's saying, when God is speaking to you today, when God is speaking, when God is nudging you, when God is kind of tweaking you a bit and saying, hey, that's something you need to pay attention to. That's an area of life that you need to work on, that you need to let my Spirit help you in. When God is speaking to us, whatever that looks like and feels like and is about in our life, the writer is saying, don't ignore it. Ignoring God speaking to you leads to your heart getting hard. And so he says, pay attention to that. Make sure you're really with God listening, that you are paying attention, that you are not ignoring, but that you're sensing the urgency of it, that if God is concerned enough about it to prompt you about it, that it's something you ought to pay attention to. So there's an urgency today as God speaks to our hearts. And maybe God is saying to some of us, you know what? You need to take a risk. And you need to open your heart and your life to some people who can just walk with you and journey with you. Maybe he's saying that means you need to join a community group, or you need to be a part of some group that will help you and encourage you in the right direction. Maybe he's saying you need to take a step today and actually believe. You need to believe. You've been dancing around the edges for a while, but you need to take the step and actually believe today while God's Spirit is speaking. The writer is serious here because he wants you and I to know that just because God is speaking today doesn't guarantee He'll be speaking to us tomorrow. He says, you better pay attention today. I believe that life is better connected for every person in every age group. And that means that for our kids, when we dismiss them to Station 252, they're going to connect with God and with each other and with their leaders, and there's that connection and sharing going on. That means for our student ministries, for middle school and high school, they have connection opportunities. In between services, actually, their leaders are back in the middle school and high school rooms and their snacks and stuff back there, and kids can come early or stay late depending on which service they're at. They can connect even on Sunday morning. There's also a time for the kids to connect on Sunday evening. It begins tonight, actually. And it's designed around that, just that connection with God and with each other, because we believe that kids have to walk together with each other and encourage each other, because they're going to get all kinds of other kinds of encouragement. So we need to encourage them in the right kinds of things through Grace Point as best we can. We believe that it's for all of us, for young adults and for middle-aged folks and for senior saints. I mean, we believe in every area this is critical, this is important. Every single phase of life. There's even a group called the Joy Group, which are kind of 60-something folks, that 60-something and up, I guess you would say. And they're folks that they get together on a regular basis. They've got a picnic coming up in a couple of weeks, and you can see information back there on the table about it. Those folks, all of us, we all need this community, this circle of people doing life together. So if God's speaking to you today about it, make sure you go back, take a look at the table back there, look at the brochure, look at the information. There's a Bible back there called the Immerse Bible. It's Scripture. This is the New Testament, actually, what we're offering to you. We'd love to challenge every single one of you, whether you're in a group or not, to read through the New Testament this fall, starting with the book of Luke and Acts. This is designed as it would have been originally written, so there's not a bunch of chapter designations or verse designations here. It's designed like Luke would have written the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Those are actually the first two books that were written of the New Testament, and so they're actually at the beginning of this one, and then the others are written in, are there in chronological order. So if this would be helpful to you, a fresh way to read Scripture, do that. A bunch of our community groups are going to be using this book, and they're going to be asking four questions every single week when we get together about what we've read and what was meaningful to us and what didn't we understand and all those kind of things, and just kind of getting God's Word into our heart and into our life. And so if this is something that would be meaningful for you, sign up back there. The ones that are back there are actually samples, so you can sign up and we'll order you one. There's actually a family reading guide back there. Because see, we believe this connection and encouragement of spiritual life ought to happen in our families first, and then the church can encourage all of that as well in groups and other ways. And so there's actually a family reading guide back there that takes you through the entire New Testament. It's really in bite-sized sections, and you can read that with your family. And again, you can sign up to get one of those, all kinds of stuff back there. Take a look at it. Bottom line, life is better connected. Faith is better connected. Connection happens best in circles, not rows. So whatever God is saying to you today, listen and do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you for the way that it speaks to our hearts. I pray that you would help us to listen to what you're saying today. And maybe for some of us in the room today, you are saying, hey, today's the day that you make a decision to believe. Maybe we've just been exploring the issue and seeking, and all of that is good, but maybe your spirit is saying today, hey, today's the day to believe and to receive, to accept my truth, my forgiveness, my grace. For some of us in the room today, maybe your spirit is saying, hey, there's an area of your life I want to help you in. I want to walk with you in, and we just need to be obedient to what you're calling us to in that area. God, I know that for some of us today, what your call is to us today is to take a risk and to get into a circle. And so I pray that you would just give us courage to do that. We know it can feel kind of risky sometimes, but would you give us courage to do that and be willing to just allow some people to be a part of our circle who love us and love you and just want to do life together and encourage each other as best we can. God, help us be obedient to your truth and to your word as you speak to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.